Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't love junior mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second-class candy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Oh, you don't understand why a candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second-class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year, second-class candy is pretty good.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
No time left for that. Fantasy season is over. The playoff fantasy season, however, is...
Oh, I can't wait.
Just revving up.
Can't wait.
No. You're not in the streets drafting playoff teams? Which do you like more?
I'm not even near the sidewalks.
Do you like the idea of a pick one player per team tournament where you and I could have some of the same players, but you can't pick more than one guy per team? Those are fun.
Sure. I've done that before. Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
And then there are the ones like the underdog ones.
With you, and I lost all my money.
Is that right? Yeah. Tyler Dunn joining us now on the Western Hotline. I don't believe that story.
Yeah, quickly change the subject.
Well, good to see you get back on your feet after whatever that was. Tyler, how are you? Happy New Year.
Are we still saying Happy New Year? I think enough time has passed. I don't know if I want to say it back.
That's the last time I'm not going to bristle audibly at hearing it.
I'm fine now. To wrap it up here. I'm not offended.
I saw a guy yesterday here that I hadn't seen since really even before any of the holidays, and he said Happy New Year to me, and it was all I could do. And I'd say, that's it, though. Don't you dare say it. But I'm assuming this person would not say it again today because he got it out of the way yesterday.
It's still not a week.
You know what? We are within a week, but I still want to go full like Dennis Reynolds screaming at the neighbor when they move to the suburbs. I just don't. It's just too chipper when you're this far removed. It's not even really a holiday. We're just flipping the calendar. Right. Time moves on.
I appreciate that it's not even been a week yet. But when it's the middle of last week and we went through a whole weekend and a whole NFL weekend, I'm done. It's over.
All right. Fine.
Take the tree down already.
Ganging up on Chope. I like it. We outnumber him here.
And our tree is down, by the way, so I don't even know what I'm being accused of. But I thought, you know, maybe Chipper was the card to play here, Tyler. You and Sean McDermott at length, you know, right. Seems very positive and mutual respect here. I think maybe, and I know you were on the station yesterday too, so maybe you were asked this, but a lot of Bills fans who have not at all forgotten what you wrote last year, I mean, super long form about McDermott and what's happened over the last few years, might be interested in the backstory here. And I personally think it looks good on McDermott that he was willing to accommodate.
It does. Absolutely. 100%. And I haven't really spoken on this a heck of a lot. I don't think he'd mind. You know, I'm not going to get into like the literal conversations that we've had, you know, over the past year. But I did hear from Sean the day after that series ran, I believe. And it was calm. It was cordial. It was respectful. He said he would like to get together in the off season to kind of get to know each other. And that's exactly what we did at the Combine in Indianapolis. We sat down for, hell, I don't know, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, barely talked about the series, just kind of got to know each other. And I think he kind of wanted to know in so many words what I did at Go Long and just expressed, look, living here, a lot of readers, a lot of subscribers are obviously Buffalonians, Bills fans, given them from here. I was at the Buffalo News. I've written about the Bills a ton. And it would be great to be in the building, be around. And, hey, since then, that's what I've been doing, writing a lot of features, sat down with Brandon Bean in spring, Rasul Douglas, Ray Davis, to name a few. Damar Hamlin did some stories on them. And I just on the verge of this postseason reached out to the Bills and wanted to see if Sean would like to sit down. And I thought it'd be 15, 20 minutes. I mean, these coaches are creatures of habit, right? It's hard enough to sit down with a coach in May for, you know, an hour, let alone January. But Sean was unbelievably accommodating with his time. And once he got rolling, as you saw, I really felt like it only got better and better and more passion, you know, more authenticity, yep. Just honesty came pouring out of him. You can really see and feel. I mean, he got emotional thinking about what it would mean to bring a championship to this city, how it would really change this city forever. It was an incredible conversation. To your point, Mike, like, this is rare. I'm telling you. I mean, hell, we've talked about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and that story I did, whatever it was, 6 years ago at Bleacher Report. I don't think the Packers are going to be rolling out the red carpet. Right. I mean, Rodgers went to another team and nuked the building, and everything I hear is there's still some animosity on their end. So, you know, give the Bills credit. I'm not blowing smoke. Like, give the Bills PR department credit. Give Sean McDermott number one credit because I think we both handled it professionally. And look, if they go out and they lose to Denver, obviously you're right critical about it, just like you guys would talk critically about
sure.
it on the radio. And I think he understands that.
How much, Tyler, if you'll take a follow-up on this subject, because I think the audience would be interested in it too, and I, as your friend and a peer, am interested in it, because I wonder when you started down that path with him, when he reached out, how much were your antenna up for, like, I'm about to get worked? You know, is he, you know, if at all? I mean, I'm honestly asking, because I think we've all probably been in situations where, you know, you want to do the right thing and be courteous, certainly give someone an opportunity to explain themselves, but you also might in the back of your mind be thinking, like, this I don't know, how much am I going to trust all this?
You know, I started covering the NFL around 2010. And so we're talking, whatever, 14, going on 15 years. So along the way, you're going to write things that are critical, and especially at Go Long, trying to do theories and talking to as many people as you possibly can on these longer pieces, players, coaches, scouts, you know, people who have passed through the building. I guess it's a similar kind of piece on the New York Giants and Dave Gettleman and how ugly it really was there at the end. And so there was somebody with that organization who did exactly what you kind of said. It gave me a call, and it was quite different. And that's just part of it. If they have every right to kind of read you the riot act if they're unhappy with something. I mean, you obviously know that getting into it, and you try to talk to as many people as you possibly can to fully tell the story of whatever it is. And so, yeah, that's always a possibility, but it was never anything remotely close to that. It's been unbelievably professional from that day after it ran through the conversation there in Indianapolis, through being around the team. And it does say a hell of a lot about Sean McDermott.
Well, I appreciate you taking the question and certainly the response to it. How did you find him? Here, like, what really? I mean, I read the piece; it was fantastic. There was a lot of stuff in there that I don't think the average person would have any way to know about him. I'm just kind of curious, like, how you found him and like how much he's changed since you would have first encountered him.
That's where it's interesting, because he is quick to say like he wasn't just one person and then completely evolved into a different person in 365 days. That being said, he kind of bullet pointed and shared several stories and several ways that he has evolved. I mean, he's doing snow angels with Josh Allen, crying out loud. Like, I don't think that Sean McDermott, kind of instilling the culture in 2017, would recognize that one. And he brought up a conversation that he had with Kale Sanderson, the former Olympian. He's the wrestling coach at Penn State now. And I believe this was this year. He called it like an enlightening moment for him. And Sanderson told him that he realized that being a head coach and what he did was like not all that important. When he realized that, he became a better head coach. And I was like, what does that mean? And the way that Sean put it, it's like, what do these players need from me right now? Like, how can I fill the gaps? How can I stand in a gap if they need me? He said it's like being a dad. What you do for your kids, what you do for your wife, what do they need from you right in that moment? That's how he kind of views being a head coach for this team. So I think that's going to lead to maybe being a little more loose, doing those snow angels and letting players play, letting players believe, looking at that glass half full instead of half empty. He brought up sending Tyler Bass out there for whatever it was, a 61, 62-yard field goal, and like going out there to win the game, not thinking of what can go wrong after he misses that extra point. And I think that psychologically, maybe they tried to get to that place with the fake punt to DeMar Hamlin against the Chiefs at home after Mahomes went up and down the field twice. But I think it does take, months to kind of get to that place, months to psychologically get your players to believe. So throughout this hour-long conversation, right in his office, we're hanging out right on his furniture in there, he did kind of bring up, 53 guys, how in the hell you try to get all of them to play freely, because it's not easy to do.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
This is the challenge every head coach faces.
The challenge with Tyler Dunn here on WGR, we all face after a season ends, if it doesn't end in a Super Bowl win, is like, all right, well, why? What happened? And I think you'd agree. I mean, a lot of times we probably draw incomplete conclusions, if not the wrong conclusions. A lot of time is spent talking about a team's mental state, the pressure, confidence, all that kind of stuff. And it's really just, there's so many players involved and coaches, and it's really hard to know. But since I've basically set this up to be an unanswerable question for you, I just wonder, how do you feel about what these changes all add up to here? It's the 2 seed again. Kansas City is going to have home field and the bye, of course, and they're the team to beat. Do you think all of these changes and what you're describing here from McDermott and maybe the residual effects are key to a different outcome?
Well, we're about to find out. At one point I asked Sean, what makes this team different than the previous 6 that he's taken to the playoffs. And in so many words, he brought up the unselfishness, and he doesn't need to say the name Stephon Diggs. He doesn't need to point out to these specifics. But, I mean, when you remove a Stephon Diggs from the equation, I wasn't so quick to just say, hey, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, he was damn good. They needed him at that time to go from good to great. I mean, he just was that electroshock to the roster that they absolutely needed at that time. But I think 4 years later, things kind of wore thin, and removing him kind of created this overall. I mean, there is something to this everyone eats thing. I mean, it is real. Sure, Patrick Surtain can take away half the field, but that's why you can throw the ball to literally anybody who's out there. But I think to answer your question, I think that Josh Allen has become more of a leader. And this is a quarterback who's right. He's a fireball, California, son of a farmhand. He's going to do what he's told. This is what so many of his friends, so many of his teammates have told me over the years. Like, he's not the type to just ball up a fist and scream in the ear hole of a teammate and do that kind of stuff you see out of Brady and Manning and Rodgers, all of these guys. But by removing Diggs, you've got this leadership vacuum, somebody to step up into that role. And Sean McDermott referenced a conversation that he had with Josh Allen over the offseason down these lines. I think that they wanted him to take more of an active leadership role this season, and he has. So there's that component. There's the on-field component. Look, I wasn't so sure there was this middle ground where you could kind of tell Josh Allen to dial it back at times, maybe don't take this risk or that risk. You know, Sean, he's a defensive coach. He knows the value of turnovers, and he has really been praising Allen for being intentional with his decisions while still being able to take those calculated risks. So it's all about Josh Allen for this team always. And this year, more than any other year, he has kind of found that utopian state where he's not making those killer mistakes, and he's leading, and this team's having a lot of fun. They're kind of going back into this playoff moment. You know, experience for sure, and they're trying to learn from 13 seconds in all those games. But like Brandon Bean said in the spring, there's a lot of guys on this team who don't have those quote-unquote scars. Like, they weren't around for 13 seconds. They weren't around for some of these games, and there's a value to that as well.
So what's in the binder, Tyler? You write about it. Tyler Dunn, golongtd.com, long piece, one-on-one with Sean McDermott. A lot of in-depth stuff in there. And McDermott, at one point, the way you portray this, like, gets this binder out. This is to be like scenarios, what we've learned, you know, just sort of things that you can try to work through that could happen on a game day. Like, how much of a look at that binder did you get? Because I was intrigued by it. Obviously, I'm bringing it up.
And I thought his answer to that question would be something else. So I just asked him, like, these playoff losses, do you try to just bury those and forget about them, never thinking of them again, or use them? And before I even got to the "or use them," I mean, he's shaking his head. No, there's no way he buries them. And he pops off his chair in his office, goes over to his desk, and grabs it. Was like a packet of papers stapled in the corner. Not a full binder, but there was a lot there. It was a pretty thick set of papers there. And he brings it back. He's flipping through it. And he goes, "I can't let you read this. I can't let you see it, but we can talk about it." So I wish my eyes could take in mm-hmm. what was typed out on these papers in a rapid rate. But he lifted off a few of the sections, like mindset, the game, distractions, first round bye, the Super Bowl. This is the strength of Sean McDermott. I mean, he is going to be unbelievably prepared. Like, if you're playing devil's advocate, you could say, well, can you be too prepared for something? Can you be overthinking mm-hmm. a game when it's played on human instinct and split-second decisions? We'll see, but like, the way he approaches it is to try to be prepared for every possible scenario on the field, off the field, that they could see. And that being said, he also noted, like, it's no two situations are going to be the same. You're going to see things you've never experienced as a coach.
At the risk of oversimplifying it, like, these are areas where I always would have assumed McDermott was really thorough. You know, like, he absolutely comes off as authentic and driven and all these things. I think what we probably will get to, Tyler, in the playoffs at least once is, whatever the moment is he willing to be aggressive? Like, for me, I'm not sure if his instinct is to sort of line up with that. That's different examples that we can rattle off over the years. In the regular season, they go for fourth down plenty, and they've been aggressive enough. They've also been very efficient on most of those plays. Allen helps. But that's it, right? These are going to be close games. And will he be willing to take that Dan Campbell-esque chance, and then, if you even consider it a gamble, and then B, what's the play call? Like, what? McDermott, for me, is more the guy calling timeout before you snap the ball so I can make sure everybody's lined up right. The, what did you call it? The Kodak.
Kodak. Play. Yeah, that's a Kodak.
So that's what I'm waiting on.
I'm with you, Mike. I mean, we don't know until we see this coach in that moment. I don't think we really know what that moment's going to be. Is it AFC championship game, end of the first half, you drive down the field, and you take a chip shot field goal when this is a track meet, you've got to keep up. Is it Cincinnati, you know, you can't stop Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, they're doing whatever you want, and you know, you probably should go for that, whatever it was, a 4th and 2, last play of the third quarter, and you just kind of punt it away. You got to be aggressive, and you're dealing with Mahomes and Lamar and Derrick Henry and all this firepower in the AFC. You've got the best player in the sport having his best season. So I think that there's some proof that maybe he's turned a corner, like 4th and 2, Chiefs. You get the field goal up by 5, or you can end the game right there. Steve Spagnuolo has the perfect call, and it doesn't even matter because Josh Allen just takes off. Maybe that was a moment that kind of helps you be aggressive in the playoffs. But he does take it case by case. And he also brought up, the Patriots game at home and his decision to kick a field goal versus going for it on 4th and 2. He said they both would have only had so many seconds anyways at the end of the half. And he admitted, I heard the boos. He goes, they want me to go for it every time. He's going to take it case by case. He's not going to go full Dan Campbell. But you got to go semi-Dan Campbell, you know, especially when you've got Josh Allen. And we're about to find out if he's willing to put the pedal to the metal now.
There it is.
How do you like this matchup?
Okay.
Denver's defense, I guess the metrics are good. I'm sure you guys have been getting into it all. The EPA, number one, sacks, 1, points allowed, 2, something like that. They've got 3 more different pass rushers. If not the best shutdown corner. But I can't talk myself into this game being overly competitive. I think that Bo Nix has been fine. I can't get that Chargers Thursday nighter out of my head where he was averaging 3.3 air yards and dinking and dunking. And Sean Payton is a Super Bowl winning coach. He'll probably put the right plays, you know, in his headset and tell him where to go with the football. But we have seen the Bills excel against young quarterbacks in inclement weather, even if it's just, in the 20s, what have you. I think they'll have their way with Bo Nix and win this pretty handily. But I don't think you never know. That's the thing. It's paralysis by analysis. We got a full week to talk about these games. By the end of it, I think everybody will kind of go round and round. I just can't get past the fact that the Bills are at home. They've been dominant at home. And everybody wants to fast forward to Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson.
That last point is the scary part for me. It's not a given. 2 9- to 10-point favorites this week, and they both cannot afford losses, the Bills and the Ravens. Very good, Tyler. Good work as always. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
And an early happy Martin Luther King Day to Tyler Dunn. we don't want to miss the opportunity to share the sentiment. That's it. Tyler Dunn, golongtd.com. 803-0550 for your calls, your thoughts on Bills Broncos. We will talk to Ross Tucker today coming up at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.